Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Well, we are certainly living in a bizarre time. Good Friday, we filmed on Tuesday last week. Easter, we filmed on Thursday. And then for the actual Good Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it was, other than engagement online on Facebook Live and all the other ways that we stream, it was such a bizarre weekend. Like, instead of preaching multiple times, it was just, you know, once for Good Friday and once for Easter. Man, crazy times, eh?
Yeah. It is very interesting to watch how different churches are responding to the coronavirus. And, in the States, you have all kinds of different responses. Some people are somewhat defiant, and others, you know, have already been, you know, they're a month in, and they're learning as they go and starting to be more creative in response.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating, right? Because typically so much of the Christian calendar revolves around Christmas Eve and Easter, and especially in the church world, these are apex moments for us at our church. I mean, we get so much of our offering from the months of February to May, because these are typically our highest attendance months, but we've been live streaming for the last few weeks. And it's a bizarre reality with giving being different, with not being in our buildings, with programming. And the other thing is, we'll run our programming through till May, till early June, and then it'll be a little bit off because people are wanting to get outside and go travel and go on vacation. But there's no spring break happened. People are all figuring out homeschooling. It's just, I feel like instead of trying to tweak our playbooks, we need to pretty much scrap it and start from scratch. So having said all that, Easter just happened, right? Mostly all the churches listening in streamed it in some fashion or way. So now what? We're still not in our buildings. So what is this next month? What do the next months look like?
Wow. Well, I think this is a really good time for our churches to figure out what is absolutely essential. Everybody is forced to do that from a finance perspective, from a resource perspective, from a people perspective, like everything. And so I think it's a really good time to take to heart what are the essentials of church, whether you're a nine marks guy or a purpose driven, whether you've got five or nine or somewhere in between, whatever those things are that you deem essential, you now have to resource appropriately as possible and strip away everything else and really focus on making sure that the church is able to do those things as much as possible and not look for just something that is neutral, that is kind of a band-aid, but how can we actually make this even better than it was before? So I hear a lot of people saying, I'm going to use this time to take my church deeper in discipleship. We're going to get really serious about discipleship. And their answer to that is a book, and that's it. So there's a great book that you should read, by the way, on discipleship. It's called No Silver Bullets. But if you do that book, then you need to have it's not just throwing a book at people and saying, hey, we're all reading this together and, we're going to have this threaded discussion over here. This is an opportunity to be really creative and really intentional with whatever it is that you deem essential, to do it in such a way that it's not just a neutral trade, it is actually transformational. We got to do heavy lifting, because, you know, what happens in our churches is we have something that's a good practice that becomes a proven practice that then becomes a church preferred practice, and then we're locked in. And unless we go back and name our biases and, you know, look at our policies and our processes, assess our beginning assumptions, and really name those things, and then somehow process to move forward to get beyond, then we're going to be stuck, and we don't know how long we're going to be stuck.
Yeah. We all process change differently. And as a leader, you need to recognize that everyone on your staff team, on your team, your volunteers, your church, I mean, everyone will process change differently. And there's definitely the stages of grief that seem to be pretty applicable to where we're at right now with denial. And we see that. And there's just if you walk through those stages of grief, and even if you look at your staff and your church, you're going to notice, and our broader society, you're going to notice people along every point on those stages of grief. But when you think about how to adapt to change, everyone on your team is going to adapt differently. There are going to be some personalities and some individuals that will do it quicker than not. Now, there are a couple Andy Crouch articles going around. I mean, the guy's been has written massive, at least two massive essays that I've read that have been of note since all of this hit. The most recent one, which is, I guess, by now a couple weeks old, he talked about the idea that we're in a blizzard, a winter, or a little ice age. And as my team and I were talking about that a couple of weeks ago and processing what ministry looks like, it's interesting to think about that, because the blizzard, in a blizzard, at least up here in Canada, I mean, they can, in some parts, it can be a day, in other parts, it can be a week. But the thing about the blizzard is you can't see in front of you clearly. It's just, you can't even really see around you. It's just the snow is going everywhere. And it's, when it's all over, everything looks different, because there are massive loads of snow. You can't even drive. It's not even wise to drive during the blizzard, because the snow is coming down so hard. It's just really hard to see far ahead. So yes, let's say you are a part of a team. Well, everyone's scrambling, right? Everyone's scrambling during the blizzard, because everyone just needs to survive. And then winter sets in, and winter's fun at the beginning because it's snow and you can play and it's novel. But a couple weeks later, a couple months later, several months later, it gets tiring and you need to adjust to that reality. And let's say we are in a little ice age. Well, you then need to figure out, okay, economically, does your church have reserves? Do you have what it takes, let's say, to be down in offering 50, 60%, 70%, whatever those ratios are? Are you able to survive that if the little ice age comes? So just before we get into some strategy components or some frameworks, because I know Todd and I love to dish back and forth on frameworks, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and we'll get right back into it. Launching a new church or campus is exciting work, but it can also be hard work, and the details can quickly become overwhelming. Getting incorporated, building your launch team, finding a location, marketing the launch, there are so many things to do. When you partner with Portable Church, they help you navigate all of the gear you'll need so you don't have to get bogged down with the logistical details now or bad systems later. They free you up to focus on what you, as the pastor, have been created to do. Hear God's direction, cultivate a team of disciple makers, and share Jesus with the community. If you're thinking of launching in this year or next, we encourage you to check them out at portablechurch.com/lifeway. So Todd, there are two frameworks that I've been leading my team through. The first one was more of during the blizzard, and it was in March, mid-March, when all this was hitting, and we were like, okay, we got a stream, and what does this look like? What does our team look like? And it was just a simple quadrant where on the top we had air war, and on the bottom we had ground war. And then on the left side, if you're looking at the two axes, you got air war, top left along that axis, and then ground war on the bottom left. And then on, along the top, you have weekends and you have midweek, right? So when you think about this quadrant of air war, ground war, weekends, and midweek, we were able to pretty quickly determine, okay, what is our strategy and what does our team need to be focusing in on so that we can sufficiently just get out of emergency mode. But now several weeks in, that is very much, that was very much of a reactionary posture towards strategy, because there's a lot of duplication. There are a lot of inefficiencies going on. So right now, actually, we're in the middle of thinking through another quadrant. And this one I got from Kevin Peck at the Austin Stone, where we're looking at care, community, content, and communication, and thinking, okay, what does our team look like within this box? And how, what does it mean for us to be the church within this box in regards to team allocation, resource allocation, and how we move forward together in strategy?
I like those boxes. So say them one more time for me and for our listeners. There's care, communication.
So along the top, you got care and community, right? So the care side of it on the first box, that's very much of a, okay, how do we care for our right. congregation? How do we care for our community, our city? The community one is groups, right? Group life. And then you have on the bottom, you have content. And then on the other box, you have communication. I mean, Kevin Peck's a genius, right?
So, yes. Okay, so,
organizationally, I mean, the guy's just a rock star.
I'm going to have him on 5LQ now. He and Eric were supposed to come on and talk about how they're handling it. Both of them are doing a great job, by the way. So Austin Stone and Mariners Church in California. If you guys are looking for resources to see what other churches are doing, those are some great places to look.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Todd, I know you were talking about A Beautiful Constraint, the book.
Yes.
Before we got on, what insight do you have for that or from that as churches try to figure out now what? I mean, we're still some parts of the country and this continent might still be on lockdown. Others might be not yet on lockdown. Yet mostly all of us are not in our buildings yet. So what advice would you give them?
Well, I mean, first of all, I just want you guys to understand, regardless of your financial situation, you have to take this time to go ahead and figure this out, because even if you weather this first wave, in most pandemics, there's at least two waves. And so, you know, things may get relatively better toward the mid end of summer, and then, you know, November, December get back. I mean, we could very well not have Easter or a Christmas service. And I'm not trying to, you know, cause panic or anything like that. I'm just saying there's usually a first wave and a second wave. Okay. Mm-hmm. So with that, you know, part of one of the lies that we tell ourselves, and we talk about that all the time on this podcast about some of the lies we believe, is that creativity, boldness, and innovation come from having an abundance of resources, an abundance of time, and an abundance of opportunity. And the reality is that's often not the case. And so we need to embrace this beautiful constraint that we're in. So the book of Beautiful Constraint really breaks down that lie, but then also walks through a process of, okay, how do I adjust my mindset from being a victim to moving from neutralization to moving to that transformer as a leader? Like, how do I actually make this even better? How do I break path dependence? So that's the next phase of it. And all that is in that first stage of mindset. Well, then it moves into methodology to say, hey, how do we ask propelling questions? Like, what problems are we trying to solve? And then making sure that we're all on the same page. And then moving into this we can if framework, because mm-hmm. we're all going to have, you know, this idea, we can't because fill in the blank. We can't because we can't gather together. We can't do this type of ministry because X. But we can if the map breaks down some questions that you can ask that will help you process this and think, especially as a staff or a group. And that's, you know, we can if we substitute X for Y. We can if we fund it by fill in the blank. You know, we can if we use other people to, I mean, you know, so there's all these different little questions that, you know, you can say, oh, if I know what propelling question we're asking, you know, what propelling problem we're trying to solve specifically, one of these might, you know, jar us to a creative solution that's as good or possibly even better than it was, you know, 3 months ago. And then finally, it's, you know, about creating abundance and activating emotions, which all comes back to motivation. In the church, you know, we would say that's about vision. And, you know, this didn't take God by surprise. He knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. And it will be interesting to see, I think, some of the stories that come out of this, you know, when we look back 10 years from now. There will be, and we don't know who these churches are yet or what cities or regions this will happen, but I truly believe the gospel is going to spread during this time. I don't know mm-hmm. how that will happen or who is doing that, but it's his church. He's not going to let it be taken out by a virus. It may look completely different. I think, you know, when this first started, talking to some pastors, they asked me, you know, what I saw, what I thought was going to happen. And I said, well, one of the things I think is people will address their leadership pipeline now, whether they want to or not, because they won't be able to afford to buy leaders. They will have to build them. We'll have mm-hmm, to practice mm-hmm. Ephesians 4, whether we like it or not, because we'll have to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And that work of the ministry may look a little different. But that's what's coming, I think, for all of us. And it should be an exciting time somewhat for us, which is, I know, difficult, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, right? I mean, I think there's a massive gospel opportunity in the midst of the hardship that is, and the hardship that's coming, especially economically. And I know Canada and the U.S., lots of countries have been responding with different stimulus packages and different things. But yeah, we'll see how this all rolls out, and if this does end up being a winter, or if it ends up being a little ice age. Some of those things we can't tell for now, but we do pray that you would see this as an opportunity to, that you would look to Jesus during this moment. And these are the two phrases that I've been leading our team through. Hey, let's look to Jesus and let's be the church. Let's look to Jesus and be the church. And we're organizing ministry around that, just trying to be nimble and adaptable in this rapidly changing time that we're in. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening to the New Churches Q&A podcast. We will catch you next time.